Hi, this is Tracy Watson, and welcome to the Laughing Mother Project, where we laugh at the days to come. Hi, beautiful mamas out there. Welcome back to the podcast. Today, I'm so excited about the beautiful guest that we're going to be listening to. I was just thinking about the fact that in today's world, we have so many things that are demanding our attention. And sometimes we look at, I'm just thinking of the recent elections that have happened in New Zealand and in the States. It's like the whole world is watching who is going to govern and what that governing is going to look like, what their world is going to look like as a result of that. We've also seen how COVID-19 has affected our lives and how in an instant we can suddenly need to work from home or teach our children. And I think that just doing life in the humdrum way and just sort of thinking that you know what to expect has really made a lot of people feel lately like it isn't that way anymore, that, you know, things can change. And why I'm saying all of this, because I know that we've heard all of it, and that's just what seems to be in the media all the time, is that as a parent, I think the greatest thing we can do is teach our children about Jesus, and not only about Jesus, but about the scripture in 1 John 4 verse 4, which says, "Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for him who is in you is greater than he that is in the world." Isn't that just so powerful? I just love that scripture. And I've often said it to my kids. I say to Grace and Luke, "Greater is he that is in you than anything else that is out there." And, you know, so today I've decided and asked to interview a beautiful worshiper. Her name is Bianca. And worship can be defined as the extravagant respect, honor, and devotion of someone. So to worship the Lord is to celebrate the Lord. And one of the cool things about worship is that it magnifies Jesus and we and God and everything that Jesus has done on the cross. And it creates in us, because God never changes. God is not sitting there wanting for us to be worshiping him for his sake. He wants us, as we look at him and magnify him, to understand that greater is he that is within us than anything that we may face, right? Isn't that amazing news? So God doesn't change because we worship. We change because we worship. And that is what we have to teach our kids, that as you worship, it's not about telling them, raise your hands, look smiley, get excited, jump up and down. It's actually about, hey guys, within you is the giant slaying mighty God. And as you worship him, the giants fall, the walls come down, things change, and you become a powerful atmosphere changer. It's like The Incredibles. We are living in a world, but we have a supernatural power that as we worship Jesus, our circumstances change. And when we walk into a room, if we've really worshiped Jesus in private, it will cause a change in atmosphere wherever we go. Isn't that far more powerful than a vote? Isn't it far more powerful to be carriers of the one who holds the world and the universe and all things created in his mighty hand? He holds all things together by the power of his word. That is worthy of worship. We worship you, Jesus. And so how does that look for mums? Because sometimes we're really busy. We're sitting in the mum's room and we don't get to get into church. And we don't get to really engage and encounter the presence of God because we're trying to manage young children. And that is a reality. I had some very great advice given to me by somebody who said to me that worship is not standing and singing. Worship can be raising your kids. Worship can be cooking. Worship can be cleaning. Worship is actually showing adoration, appreciation, love, honor, and extravagant devotion to God. And that is not singing. That is lifestyle. We can be living out of worship for the one who's created us, right? And so let that set you free. In you, you live, you move, and you have your being, and you can be worshiping Jesus all day, whatever you're doing. So I'm going to move on to introducing Bianca to you and letting her just give us some practical tips. I would love you to watch this space because she is somebody that I stood in a worship, I think it was a late night prayer meeting, and she began to sing that song, Awake My Soul by Hillsong Worship. And I felt the room change. It was like she had invited the presence of God into the room. And we know Jesus is always with us. We know that the Holy Spirit is always in us and present. But sometimes God arrives in the building in a fresh way, with fresh healing, with fresh encounter. And I really am grateful for people who spend time in the secret place, really like worshiping Him there where no one is watching, because it creates an atmosphere that we just get to step into when they've done that. And so I'd love you to just learn from and enjoy the time with people. Welcome, mums, to the next episode of the Laughing Mother Project podcast. Today, we've got beautiful Bianca with us, B, and she's a powerful worship leader, and she's been a youth pastor, and she's got three beautiful children. So welcome, B. Can you tell us about your family, your three children, their names, their ages, something about each one of them?
Sure. Well, you've taught Abby.
Yes.
You've been her amazing teacher last year. So Abby is 11 now. She's moving into junior high youth age, which is a bit scary and confronting.
Yes.
When they're not little babies anymore, they're growing up. And she's probably the child that's most like me. So got that strong will, determined, loves life, loves creative things, but definitely probably the one that's most like me, a little mirror to parent, which is fun. So she's our eldest, she's 11, then you get Noah, who's 8, and he's what I call the wild card.
Okay.
He's this sort of soft marshmallow on the inside, but he's real rough and tumble and forever wrestling and playing rugby and just, yeah, always on the go. If there's a button to be pressed or something to, uncover, he's very inquisitive, very investigative. Yes, that's a good way to put it. But he's, definitely the cuddly one, the sensitive natured one that you don't always realize, but he internalizes a lot. So he's been fun to figure out as you go along. And then the baby's Jed, and he's started school this year, which has been a lovely new phase to step into with all three kids at school. And he's the classic third child, easygoing, fun personality, likes to make everyone laugh, likes to check everyone's okay, very caring, very emotionally in tune to what's going on with everybody, and just wants to, make sure everyone's doing all right. So he's lots of fun, and also him and Noah both big buddies and love rugby and wrestling and just doing boy stuff. So that's quite sweet. They're good friends.
Yes.
Yeah.
So Abby was in my class, and I always think that Abby's like, she's always delighted. Like, she's always...
That's fantastic. That was your experience.
She is. She's always, like, smiling and laughing. And so that makes me think as well. I think that you were quite young when you started your family. Because you're still quite young.
Oh, I think I was about 23 when I had her, if my maths is right. Yeah. I think I was about 23. I always wanted to have kids young.
Yes, so, because I was going to say you're very young-hearted and... I can see that you instill a sense of adventure and wonder in your kids. Mm. And that's awesome. So that also links to the fact that I wanted to ask you about your worship experience. And so you must have discovered that you had a great singing voice. Did you always have a great singing voice? How did you get into singing?
Oh, you're very kind. You know what? I've always loved worshiping. It's been a huge part of my life, my whole life. Growing up in church and in South Africa, you know, you get these big churches where people can just sing. And
I just belted out.
I was like, Lord, I want to sing like that. But I really did. Like, I was part of the choir, could hold a note, but I wasn't a singer in that sense. Like, I'd never... I don't know whether it's just discovering your voice or what it is, but when I got to New Zealand, I was 17, and I remember driving in the car saying, Lord, I just want to sing. You know, it's frustrating when you want to worship, and but you don't feel like you kind of have the voice to do it. Although, like I say, I could sort of hold a note, and I would just practice in my car. I was like, Lord, I really want to be able to sing. And so every time I got in the car, I would sort of just practice singing and worshiping. And then it came to one year where they were auditioning for the Christmas services. And I thought, okay, you know what, I'm just going to audition and give it a go. So I sang a song for that, and they were like, oh, I never knew you could sing. And they put me on a Christmas carol, and then sort of from there... eventually, because I always did youth, that was where I served. So I wasn't in the worship team till later on. But just actually God just gave me the desire of my heart. I really wanted to be able to sing, and worship being such a huge part of my life already, that was just the best gift. It was
amazing.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's so cool that you say that, because I think that like there's a difference between worship leading and performing.
Sure.
And I think the fact that like sometimes like even David, if you practice in secret before you get put onto the stage, so it's so cool that you can just put music on and in your car and sing, or in the shower and practice. In fact, I'm digressing a little bit, but Grace, when we got here, was similar age, 15, and she became very withdrawn. But I used to notice that she used to like singing, just quietly. And so I encouraged her to get into singing. And I know that she had to overcome putting herself out there.
Right.
You know, maybe you can relate. Because I don't have a background with worship.
Yeah.
But it was quite a big deal to just risk it. So well done for that. Because it's also, I think, goes hand in hand with going after something and being prepared to risk. Mm. Like sometimes somebody's not going to know you have a great voice or you're into worship if you don't say, hey, I'd like to be included and I'd like to learn and...
Absolutely.
You know, grow in that gift.
There's such a balance there, right? Because you can have humility and then false humility, where actually God's given you a gift and you feel like it's, you know, maybe glorifying yourself, but actually the gifts are there to glorify God. And so it's a balancing act, I think. And I'm the same. I'm not one to want to be the center of attention. I would probably more prefer being in the choir, you know, than out front. But I think... somebody said it once and I thought, oh, it's so true, that whatever God's gifted you to do, if you're sort of wondering what that is, the thing that sort of lights you up or annoys you if it's done wrong, you know, if you that's usually what God's sort of calling you to jump into. And so I've stood in so many services where you like, you know what worship should look like, and you know what you should be experiencing, the presence of God, and maybe you don't, and you're like, oh, I know how to do that because you've done it at home. And you, so that's where you actually do bring something. It's not about look at me, it's about what can you bring to help people step into what you've experienced, because worship is such a tool. It's more than singing, you know. We know that songs move us. They move our soul. They can make us feel happy or sad or, you know, joyful to listen to Christmas carols. But there's something about worship that's a spiritual thing that shifts something in people, you know, whether it's bringing hope, bringing healing. I mean, how many times I've just sat there? You're worshiping because it's an act of worship, but you might not even be singing. You might just be crying in a heap on the floor. But, you know, and that is worship. It's our offering of a heart posture to God, you know.
That is so powerful.
Yeah.
Because I mean, I definitely don't think you belong in the choir.
Just let me sing in the choir, okay?
No. Because that's what I think. I don't have any background in right. worship, but just being somebody that obviously is standing and coming to church and wanting to encounter the presence of God, you definitely can feel when somebody has an ability to usher heaven into the room. And often I think that they personally have been a conduit of bringing heaven to earth in their private time. Mm. So maybe they've walked through things and they've got breakthrough, just them and Jesus. Mm. And like you're saying, just posturing yourself. So I think of that Jesus said we must pray that as it is in heaven,
right.
that it should be like that on earth. So therefore, I think as sons and daughters of God, we are conduits of bringing heaven to earth. But often it's in our weakness that we begin to draw on that divine exchange of so like true. Heaven, I need healing. Mm. Jesus achieved that on the cross and just that wrestle. And I don't know what your personal things have been. I don't expect you to share them, but I know that I've been in a service where I've said this to you before, but the listeners won't know that that song by Hillsong, "Awake My Soul."
Oh yes,
you sang that song. I even get goosies when I think of it now because I think that you've got such a breaker anointing. It's like if you're a surfer or if you're a swimmer and you're trying to get past the breakers, and then you just enter into this ocean. And I just felt like that. You began to sing, and it became no longer about what you were singing, but about this weight of like, you know how to take people over those breakers into that ocean of love. It was really powerful. Oh, it blessed me. It really blessed me. And so would you agree that like you have to actually maybe have who inspires you? Like which music artists do you listen to, or is it that you get with the Word of God? Do you write your own songs? I know that's a very broad question. Take it where you want to, but I want to know how you
that's
get
a great
that.
Question.
How do you get that? Like how can others experience that and bring that to when they get an opportunity to stand in front of people?
I think one of the things that has carried me through different seasons, and I've had so many different ones, you know, in life, and I think everybody can relate to that.
Yes, we all do.
You know,
yes.
You have seasons where God's got you alone and he's working things out
in
you.
Hiding.
We've got seasons where, you know, there's a lot happening that's out of our control and anxiety is knocking on the door and you just need peace. You've got warfare seasons where you know God's calling you to, you know, break
push
something
through.
Open, whether it's over your family or whatever it is. So there's different seasons. And one thing that I've always done, like I said, music and worship has always been massive to me, a massive key in my life, if I say that, but is making a playlist. So I will, on my phone even now on Spotify, I've just got different playlists and I can go to them and know, okay, that was that season. When I just needed peace, there's a playlist for that. When, you know, I've got like warfare songs and I would just have worship on all day. All day.
Wow.
My kids wake up, it's playing in the house, they go to sleep, it's on, in the car, it's on. I don't listen. And it's not a religious thing that I don't listen to other songs. It's I won't survive if I don't just have, if I'm not feeding my spirit faith or, you know, the word.
That's
of God.
That's maturity.
Yeah.
Because that's like linking into the frequencies that your soul needs to stay in tune with what the voice of heaven is speaking to you.
That's exactly right.
I mean,
okay, God, what do you say about this? Because your emotions, we have to experience emotions, that God's given them to us for a reason. You can't, you know, ignore them, but it is possible to not, you know, be dictated by them. Let your day be dictated. So for me, I'm trying to think where I was going with that. So, who inspires me? So I've got so many different people on there. Obviously Hillsong is always a go-to. I love Brooke Fraser. I love the beautiful, the lyrics, the art, artistic way the poetic way they write. I love that.
Yes.
So I love Hillsong worship. And then a lot of times, like if I, you know, switch the lights off, the kids are gone to bed and I'm worshiping, I like worship sets of churches. So, I'll often put on a Bethel or an Upper Room, just where they worship for hours. So it might be a few hours on YouTube.
Yes,
and
I love
that. And just put it on and worship with that.
Yes.
And then they go into open worship. It's not as structured as maybe a song that was recorded or, you know.
Yes.
So it just depends. Those would probably be my go-tos. So Upper Room, Bethel, Hillsong, and then Elevation Worship. They've got some real powerful breakthrough songs that sort of came out of this last season of lockdown and all that. I think your spirit resonates with songs that are for a season.
Definitely.
So if I put on a playlist I had 2 years ago, it might not resonate the same way. That's why I sort of create new ones as I'm going, you know?
Yes.
As you go along.
And God is like that. I think yes. Like he doesn't actually... I mean, there are some beautiful songs that carry truth
yes.
forever. They're yeah. timeless.
Yeah.
In fact, I heard somebody speak about the fact that Christian artists, if you write a song, I mean, the reach and the, I don't know what the term is, but like that song has an ability to reach so many different people,
so
cultures,
true.
And it gets repeated and yeah. sung over and over again. So we amazing. Underestimate and always think that Christian genres are like the you know, the second best,
<It's true. laughs>
but not necessarily, you know, it might be that we don't actually fully understand how far that song and how long the lifespan of
it's
songs
so
are,
so
you
true.
Know, I love what you said there that also that just playing some music as well when your children go to sleep, because I wanted to ask you now, this obviously is for mothers, and sometimes we don't get that time to just fill our tanks, and I know that I can read that on myself when I start getting very grouchy, and why I said about the frequency, because there's definitely a competition for the frequency, and you're probably too young for this, I'm older, but like when we used to listen to radios, and if it wasn't tuned correctly, and you get that, you know, and I mean, different songs can actually hook onto your emotions and make you go down roads you don't need to. So it's very good to keep on feeding yourself with songs that are the word of God and feeding your spirit and keeping your soul like just strong and joyful and renewed and your mind. But in terms of like there's that scripture in Zephaniah which says that God quietens us and sings over us songs of deliverance.
Yes.
Do you ever sing over your children? What songs, say for example, a person's child was going through something. Would you suggest that they sing scripture over them? Or are there any songs or write their own? Or I mean, it's also a broad question, but how can we sing over circumstances? I'm just thinking of the fact that like even in the army, you can sing songs that actually are warfare and... Yeah.
And I think that especially seeing as the scripture, it's not just a random idea. The scripture literally says God does that over us.
Yes.
And if he's the perfect father, good father, then that's something that we should be doing. And I think as mothers, and I mean as parents in general, there's no one else that has the authority over your kids in the spirit, right?
Yes.
That's as invested as we are in our kids. Like God has given them, gifted them to us. And so our voice carries an authority that no one else as well.
That's so good.
But I think, definitely, obviously open worship at home. And I mean, okay, that's a worship team term. It's just where you sort of just start singing out your own song to God. That is powerful. But I find that usually flows out of speaking in tongues. Now the Bible says, and not everyone will sort of relate to that, but the Bible says that... speaking in tongues, you're speaking in a heavenly language. So the Holy Spirit, you might not be able to put your finger on what it is
that's so good.
Underlying why your kid's behaving in a certain way or what's happening. And sometimes we can, sometimes we know exactly what it is and we can speak into it, sing over it, whether it's our own song or whether we, you know, if our child is anxious and we just, you know, put on songs that speak about the peace of God, whether our child's facing rejection and you're just playing songs about the love of God. The one thing that I love, and it's amazing watching the kids, because I know, obviously with me, I've got songs in my head all the time, but little Jed and the kids, whatever the worship song is that they've sung at school in the morning, he comes home and he'll just be singing it. And I say to him, did you do this song today? He goes, yes, how did you know? And I was like, can you sing it? And it gets into their spirit and they sing it. And that happens at home as well. You watch it, do a little experiment. You play songs. It'll just be in their subconscious while they're doing Lego or while you're cooking. And you'll find when the music's off later, they'll be singing the songs.
That is
and
wisdom.
It's
I haven't even thought of that before.
Yeah,
but it's so
in
true.
Their subconscious, right? They're hearing it, whether it's the news in the background or the fighting in the background. Whatever's going on in the background is affecting their spirits. And so you don't have to, if you don't feel like it's a particular gifting to, you know, make up songs about your children. I think it can be so much simpler than that.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Play something that hits on what you're feeling and sensing and trust that, hey, because as mothers especially, we've got a gut feel that the world would say, but it's a Holy Spirit intuition, hey.
And I love what you're saying there, because even with the gift of tongues, I think that it's kind of like sometimes we also try and work out or diagnose what's going on with our kids.
Oh,
and sometimes we also see it through the filters of our own lives and our own experiences. And I think that's also okay, because we've got a sensitivity and that's what family's about. We sometimes have overcome things, and so we can see things that our children face and totally get them.
Yeah.
But sometimes we can stand in the way of what Jesus wants to do with them. And so I think that, like, if you're singing or speaking in tongues, it carries the love you have with them, but without the bias.
Yeah.
So
it's true. That's
so powerful. It just opens
up. It's like, God, what do you want to
do?
Yes,
and handing them back.
Yes, because we just want to
inviting heaven.
Right? We want the best for them, and we want to just fix them and help them. And sometimes God's like, well, you've got to let them go through that. And, you know, so God's ways are not our ways, hey? And I think, like you say, speaking in tongues, it just leaves room for God to do his thing as well.
Yes.
Yeah, so true.
Okay, so now I was going to ask you how important community is to you. Like, how do you put your children in a community that also helps and sort of has the same ideas as what you do about putting them, you know, in the will of God and just growing their relationship with Jesus?
I think there's a lot in life we can't control.
Yes.
But controlling the environment that our kids are in, obviously school is a massive one. For me, my heart was always that the kids would go to City Impact Church School or a Christian school. I just feel like the amount of time that they're at school, it's insane. When you look at it, you know, the amount of time that you actually with them versus how many hours a day other people are with them. And to have an atmosphere of faith where people are praying, where there's worship, where God is so normal in everything they do, that for me was massive. But in terms of community, obviously church, community is everything, right? We were never meant to do life as an island on our own. We're meant to be challenged, rubbed up the wrong way, have people to come around. I feel like I'm quite an independent person. Like, I just have always been. I like to get on with it. If something's wrong, I wouldn't necessarily tell people. My mom used to get so cross with me as a teenager. She used to say, you never tell me what's going on. You know, Raquel always talks to me and you just get on with it and what's going on. And I just like to just get on with my own life. But I've been so humbled as I've gone through things with in life, you know, we've lost pregnancies and just things that come out of the blue and you're like, oh, okay, we've got to deal with that now. And just having church family that you didn't think you might, because you're always helping other people, you know, and being in youth, that was a major focus, and helping other people's kids. And then it comes around to you having your own kids and maybe having issues as a family that you've got to work through. And suddenly you actually realize God works through people, whether it's the incredible teachers that he places in their life to just speak hope and truth over them, the team that makes you meals, that you serve with, that you don't think too much about that relationship, but that rock up with meals when you need it, people that you can just text and say, you know what, actually in reality I'm just struggling today, and they pray with you. You realize that community is, and the kids are watching all that. It's not just a place we go to on Sunday. Actually, it's like you say, community. It's such a beautiful word. And family, you know, another level. It's actually family, that this is how we were always meant to do life together and helping one another. And we have the saying as well, raising our kids in a village, which I think is also such a beautiful idea, where everyone's looking out for everyone else's kids. It's not a competitive, I want my kid to flourish, and if your kid's doing well, that's a threat. We're all in this together, you know, helping each other with grace for one another. And I think that's powerful for our kids to see as well.
Yes. You know, I think also, like, you had that happen. You obviously were born in Cape Town, I think, yeah. and raised there. I think sometimes when you move countries as well, it's kind of like a tree being pulled up and the roots taken out of soil and moved to another place. So I don't know. Sometimes there are a lot of people who listen who actually maybe just get so used to their community. And sometimes we can even with our family, they can irritate us or say things or and you know, but you only realize the value of it when you actually don't have the people that you have history with.
So
you
true.
You know, and I think it's important just to value even the differences. Even they make us sensitive to each other.
That's
when
right.
we because people don't always get it right.
That's
you
right.
know, and that also helps us. We don't always get it right. We sometimes stuff up and say things
exactly.
that we shouldn't. And
it's family, right?
Yes.
People do stuff that annoy you.
Exactly.
And that's what God uses to mature us. He'll either use circumstances or he'll use people. And so people are there to rub us up the wrong way. And, you know, on the negative side, on the positive side, it's your families, you know, support each other and have fun
100%.
Together. And, but there is that other side. And I think if you're not prepared for that, what, you know, the fullness of what family actually looks like, you'll get disappointed. You might get disillusioned. I've seen people walk away and you just think, oh, it's so, you can just see the cleverness of God's design. He designed us to be in community that we would change and we would be a part of changing other people because we all,
yes.
you know, my mum used to always say, if our siblings were annoying us or a situation at school or a teacher, she used to say, it's just brother or sister sandpaper, you know, like
that
rubbing
is so
off those
cool.
rough edges, you know,
yes.
which is exactly on a small level. It was like that in our family, you know, with the annoyances that the siblings have with each other. But then you realize on a bigger scale, God's just dealing with a whole lot of kids in the back seat who're not listening as well.
That's what I always think.
Yeah.
You know, I'm obviously a teacher and I'm like teaching at City Impact Church School, which, by the way, I just love the fact that like we have a prize giving item, and I know we've tried to get them to start writing songs themselves.
Amazing.
How cool is that? And they're
amazing.
So gifted because of the families
yes.
and being in a church and in a school, which all feeds
that,
that gifting
yeah.
coming through, right? But what was I going to say to you about this now? I'm trying to think of what my question was, but I got sidetracked. Oh, so the other day I was just sitting because I, although I'm a teacher, I'm not really that good at keeping everybody sitting in their seat, being beautifully behaved. And I walk along this passage and I just see the amazing classroom management that is going on in other classes. And so sometimes even as a teacher, you know, you
yes.
can, or as a mother, you can think, oh, my kids aren't as beautifully behaved as that neighbor's. And the one morning I was just watching worship and I just felt God drop in my spirit, but look at my kids there. And there were these people having open worship and they were jumping up and down and worshiping and singing and dancing. And I just thought, you know, that is God. He's not all, and it is good. I mean, there are times, there's a time and season for everything, and the children do need, it's not like my class is nuts and they're just going, they do need to settle down and do their work. But I'm just saying that, you know, sometimes we think we're doing well by how perfectly we're coloring in the lines. But God's family isn't like that, you know.
So
he just embraces all of our personalities and how we
Absolutely.
How we do things. So just lastly, I wanted to ask you, what would you love your children to learn from your life? Like, and I know that's a big question again. All of these questions are massive. But is there something that like you try and role model, or is there a motto in your family that like you just come back to or
Definitely I think that the one thing, aside from the fact that there's a God and he loves you, you know, like the basics,
Jesus
you,
loves
you're
you.
Created for a purpose, for a reason, like there's so many things that we, you know, try to drill into them. But I think for me, the thing that I've got in my mind when I'm parenting and I have to keep bringing myself back to, and it even relates to what you were saying now, to, you know, what things might look like in the now and maybe, you know, comparing to other people, is that life is this little speck, you know, in the blip of eternity. What we do here, you know, the life that we live now, our kids, what they're going through, whether they're throwing tantrums or whether they, you know, you're worried about their friends group. It's such a tiny little speck on the spectrum of eternity. They're going to live forever and ever and ever in an eternal state somewhere. And so I think it's like, honestly, hey, it's sobering. And my mom, honestly, my mom will often say this, and then, you're raising eternal souls.
Whoa.
You know, you're raising an eternal soul.
That is so good.
And so, you know, whether you're fighting over them about eating their broccoli or doing their homework, in the big scheme of things, what are we doing to make sure these kids encounter Jesus and know he's real?
Pastor Kim, give it up.
Honestly, I'm like, yeah. It's sobering because you realize we've been given this gift. And so I think for my kids, if they understand that what happens in this life, it might be sad, it might be bad, it might be wonderful, they might be really successful in business, whatever happens in life, if they are prepared for eternity and, you know, living a life that is making other people ready for eternity, I've done my job if I see them in heaven one day.
Yes.
Bottom line, you know, everything else is secondary. As long as they're in heaven and they've lived a life that's drawn other people to Jesus, That's it. You know,
that's awesome. That's bottom line. That's powerful.
Yeah.
You know, and I also think that like eternity is actually like from the time you give your life to Jesus, you're living.
That's right.
You know, so I think some people also kind of think like just on the other side of what you're saying, like, are they maybe when they're 17 they can make a decision?
Mm.
Like actually, no, they can actually start being powerful in what God has called them to do.
That's right.
From young.
That's right.
I mean, I'm amazed at some of the prayers, and God says we must be like children. Their faith level is so massive. In fact, I think sometimes they've got a greater ability to draw people in their purity and innocence when they're younger.
So true.
And I'm just building on what you're saying, because I think some parents are like, oh, they don't really understand now. I don't think your spirit actually has an age. Yes, your mind still might be catching up to what you understand as you get older. But I think that your spirit is always receptive to the things of God from a young age. So I loved what you said about playing worship songs, because you actually... That will never return void. Those songs, that scripture that you're putting into them is also eternal and will accomplish what God set out for it to do.
Yeah, absolutely. It's powerful.
I'm just so grateful. Mm. Thank you so much for sharing. Are you writing anything? Subject. Please, are you going to write some songs? Because
there's a few in the pipeline. So
really?
It's definitely something that I love to do and will continue to do. So when they get released and stuff like that is all obviously part of the process here at church. We've got such a great team that works on them and, you know, makes sure they're released when and where the season fits. But absolutely.
So if anybody wants to listen to you sing, they can just listen on our City Impact. How do we? Don't be embarrassed and shy.
You can just phone me and I'll just sing a song. Obviously coming to church on Sunday, I'm part of the worship team here. I don't make my own music. I don't have my own playlist on Spotify. But just corporately, we're part of this worship team. And then... I'm singing in Christmas.
I can see you so humble, but like haven't you been on any of the City Impact?
No, I wasn't. Oh,
please, they need to sort this out.
No, I wasn't in the last couple. It was about 2 years ago now, actually, nearly 2 years ago, the last one. But yeah, Christmas, there's always events in that I do.
But that's actually okay. I just was asking that because I really do feel, and anyway, this whole podcast is prophetic, and I really feel that there's going to be so much to come with you, like, because I really was very blessed by that, and I'm sure it's not only for a church service. I'm sure that God has amazing things in store for you. We just pray blessing over that voice. Tracy. And most of all, not really your voice, your heart, because I just really think that you've got a heart that goes after the things of God. And sometimes it's like David, he's there in secret and then God at the right time brings him out, and you know. So we just pray blessing and we wait to see what God is going to do in you and through the music or through the songs that you write, because I do believe you're going to write some cool stuff.
Oh, awesome. Thanks,
Tracy. For your
you're
time.
Amazing with all that you're doing as well. I love it.
Oh, just having conversations. So and it always inspires everybody listening, I'm sure. Okay. Fantastic. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay. Just stop there.
Moms, I'm just going to pray for you now. Father God, I just thank you. I worship you, Jesus. I worship that you are greater than all things that anybody listening is facing. That, Father God, you have spoken a better word. In your scripture, there will be a word that speaks a better word than what they've been told. Father God, I thank you that we can raise your name up high, that we can bleed the blood of Jesus over situations, that we can declare that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. That, Father God, we can understand that you have already won the victory. You've called us to sit with you in heavenly places and to see that the one who sits in heaven laughs because you took on the cross for the joy set before you. Show us, Lord, the joy in whatever situation we are facing, Jesus. We worship you. We thank you for humbly taking on the cross to set us free and to give us a divine exchange. We thank you that we can give you our brokenness, our weakness, the things that we don't understand, the things that we're trying to be in control of and we're not. But most of all, that we can worship you for the lives of our children, that we can worship you over our children, that we can raise up worshipers that change atmospheres wherever they go. Thank you, Father God, for this immense privilege. Please bless the precious mum who's listening and help her to be creative in finding ways to worship and to raise worshippers in her home. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, friends. Until next time, have a great day. God bless.